This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck and I am your host for the first hour. In this first hour, I'm going to actually start off with some commentary on the metals sector just because, last weekend show I spent a lot of time discussing more portfolio management and this whole ZERP or NERP policy. Now, let's focus a little bit more on these markets as I am kicking off the show with Jeff Christian. He is a managing partner over at the CPM Group. Now, Jeff, when it comes to the precious metals sector, I want to get some broad comments for you and more of a mid to long term outlook in terms of what you think is going to drive these markets. We hear the similar things from a lot of commentators, one being real interest rates and the whole debate right now whether real interest rates are even in negative territory with how low actual interest rates are, but that's a whole inflation deflation debate that I think we'll get into in the second half of this interview. So first things first, Jeff, what do you think are and will be some of the major drivers for precious metals, first and foremost, moving through the rest of this year, even into 2021?
I think a key point is going to be the shape of the economy going forward. Most people feel that the second quarter of the year is going to be or is being the worst quarter, and you've got a lot of projections. A month ago, the range of projections for GDP in the United States in the second quarter was like anywhere from -5% to -40%. Now it's like anywhere from -25% to -40%. So people have realized that the second quarter is, in fact, really getting hammered, not only in the U.S., but Canada, Europe, and most of the rest of the world. China is actually now recovering and rebounding relatively quickly in terms of GDP and industrial activity as they come out of quarantine and move back towards something new. The big issue is going to be what's going to happen in the third and fourth quarters. Our view is that, you'll have an initial pop up because we've gotten so low by turning things off. And as we restart things, we'll see some rapid recovery, but then it slows dramatically. And at that point, there's still a tremendous amount of uncertainty there, and there's no clarity as to what happens. First off, we could have a second round of the COVID-19 infections, which epidemiologists and other medical authorities, as opposed to politicians, are saying could be much more devastating. And in the same way that the second wave of the Spanish flu in 1918-1920 was much more devastating than the first wave. And so that could really hammer the economic recovery in the second quarter, third quarter, and then 2020. Barring that, you're looking at probably a slower recovery after that initial spurt. And then you have to worry, how far do we get back? How long does it take to get back to where we were? And do we get back to where we are? Because there's going to be a lot of structural changes in the way people buy things and do things and work. And you're probably going to have a more difficult time. I think the financial resources are there on the part of governments to sort of see us through, but the economic realities are going to be difficult to implement. And that is the environment in which gold and silver will be trading. And I think that that's going to keep gold and silver relatively volatile for the rest of this year and into next year.
Now, how about that aspect that you said the governments have the financial ability to kind of keep supporting these markets? It's one thing that seems to be a guarantee is that central banks are going to continue to be easy with their monetary policies. Some central banks, fine, they don't want to drop into negative interest rate territory like the Fed, but that doesn't mean that they couldn't or they aren't just going to keep on printing money.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's, central banks at present are like governments during times of war. They'll do whatever they need to do. They'll borrow whatever they have to borrow to get us out of the crisis. And they'll worry about sterilizing or trying to counteract the negative consequences of that borrowing after they're out of the crisis. And you know, I think, you know, we saw this in the 90s and we saw it again over the last several years. You know, one of the keys that the government has failed, governments of the world have failed to do in the last 10 years is after the Great Recession and global financial crisis in 2008 to 2011, they were very slow to recover so that when we moved into this one, they were already at a weak period of time. You know, when we went into the Great Recession, the U.S. actually had a budget, we were at about $300 billion deficit at that time, but it went to $1.4 trillion deficit for a period of time. We beat it back down, but we only got to $460 billion deficit before this happened, and now we're at like a $3.7 trillion deficit. That's going to be really hard to deal with, and it's going to take decades to deal with if it's done effectively. And I'm not at all convinced that the governments will deal with it effectively.
Fair enough. But you know what? They are going to try to inflate or reflate their way out of this, whether it works. That's a big question mark also in my mind. So, Jeff, how does this all carry over to some of the stocks then in your eyes? The majors, no doubt they have been doing well with higher gold price, even lower energy prices over the last few months. They're producing some good numbers. We're actually in the middle of, maybe at the tail end of this financing window where even smaller companies are getting money thrown at them, really, oversubscribed private placements, bought deals that are upsized. What about this environment for the stocks?
I think that's probably going to continue for a while. We tend to service institutional investors as opposed to smaller retail investors. And a lot of the institutions that we're talking to are very nervous about it. They say, you know, these companies still really aren't all that well run. And we're concerned that they're not going to be sustainable. And, you know, one of the points that we've always made is there are two sets of parameters with stocks. One is the operating parameters, you know, and these companies could do very well, or they could do poorly, but then you have the financial parameters, the stock prices. And the stock prices don't necessarily reflect how well the companies are operating. And you could get into a situation where the companies don't operate all that well. You know, let's be honest, right now, a lot of companies haven't really made the kinds of structural reforms that would suggest that they're really good companies to invest in on a long-term fundamental economic, you know, basis. But the higher gold prices, higher silver prices, the recovery in copper prices have buoyed their stock prices for now. So they're kind of buying time based on the prices of their products, which is a dangerous and tenuous way to move forward. So I think that a lot of them are kind of vulnerable, and we're finding like some of the more fundamentally driven institutions are thinking that way, and they're very nervous. Now, that said, you know, we've shown some statistics over the last couple of years. The vast majority of institutions don't buy and sell stocks based on fundamentals of the companies, nor the macroeconomic environment. They're buying these and selling these things on stock price momentum indicators now. So you could have the stock price do very well even if the companies don't perform well on an operating basis.
Okay. Well, Jeff, we're going to wrap it up there. Always great having you on the show. Thank you very much for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Okay, thank you. Have a good weekend.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
So you're wearing a mask every day now?
Yeah.
Where are you getting them?
Same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com.
Really?
And they're handmade, just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks, and they make cloth face masks, too.
Good price?
That's the best part. 10 masks for only $6.
Wow.
As a public service, sunnybay.com is now making cloth face masks by hand in the Seattle area and sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality disposable face masks for only $6 or choose a handmade, washable, reusable cloth face mask with high 2 layers of quality cotton fabrics. Supplies are limited. Get details and order at sunnybay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to sunny-bay.com for disposable or cloth face masks. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from 6 different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com, 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing on with the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. As I mentioned in that first segment, we are going to be focusing a bit more on the resource sector in this segment with Eric Wetterling. He is the founder and editor of The Hedgeless Horseman. And Eric, I have to say, I have been getting a lot of positive comments about your recent interviews, and it seems like you're very straightforward nature. So I did want to bring you on to this weekend show and discuss a concept that you and I have been talking about off mic for a little while. It deals with portfolio management when it comes to more of the junior resource companies. This whole concept of don't get too cute, don't try to trade in and out of too many stocks, because the most important thing is catching the big moves in some of these stocks. And sometimes, quite honestly, you just don't know when those big moves are going to happen. But one thing that I think you can focus on and can pay attention to is the type of work that companies are doing, more significant work that advances the project and has the potential of getting people more interested, bringing in new investors into the stock. When it comes to work that companies can do and are doing, what do you find as some of the most significant work possible? Some options here are target generation for exploration drilling, actual drilling, whether it is infill or exploration, step-out drilling, or even economic studies, or anything else that you follow closely. What do you pay attention to here, Eric?
Well, I mean, I think the most important thing is simply, you know, getting more gold. Because that's the thing that will be revalued in a gold bull market. Because, I mean, sure, you can de-risk a project further and further, and that raises the value of, or hopefully raises the value of the ounces you already got. But, I mean, I want a scenario where, let's say, gold is at $4,000, which is more than double from today. And, you know, perhaps twice the amount of gold in the ground that the company has, because that will be a multiplier effect on itself, right? If you have a stagnant project, it's been de-risking, they're doing studies, etc., but they don't really add on more gold ounces. I mean, it's not growing, it's being de-risked, but I think that in a real gold bull, we know what happened to the majors. They were buying growth and all that. I mean, that type of thing won't go away. And I'm not saying that you should buy anything with a lot of ounces, crappy ounces or stuff like that. But at the same time, it's like that stuff gets people attention, and that's why they got the pressure of adding more ounces, etc., during the peaks of a bull market. So I would say, first of all, stick with quality and people who have the backing, etc., to be able to push a project forward. And my main interest is simply, exploration and adding value through the drill bit or trench in the case of Noah, for example, because I think that will in the end give you more bang for the buck, because there are deposits out there that are, getting the risk, but the management don't really know how they can add more, let's say, gold. They might have a limited area to work on or whatever. I want a big runway. I want a big project or the possibility for multiple projects. And I simply want a long runway that can add a lot of ounces. And if the management is good, they will be hunting good ounces and know what good ounces look like. Because, I mean, take the Lundins, for example, with their backing of Orca Gold. I mean, that management team was the management team behind Redback. And when you listen to interviews with Hugh Stewart, for example, he points out that they're not looking for ounces for ounces' sake. They're looking for economic ounces. And they're willing to drop a project quickly, even if they find gold. But if they see the metallurgy being bad or grade being too low or whatever, that wouldn't make it work. They're mind builders. They want to create actual value, because that's the only thing that will really be bought at the end of the day. Sure, there can be marginal ounces during a bull market or even have negative cash flow, but they're looking for something of substance. And the good management teams knows this, and they know what the majors want. They know what kind of IRR majors want, the kind of capex requirements, jurisdictions, and all that. So again, it comes back to the importance of people, because they know what success looks like. So I want to, I mean, I primarily own companies where the management had prior success, or at least are very smart and very honest, and the runway is huge. So, I mean, I don't really care when it comes to my top picks, for example, if gold goes sideways for another year or two, because I think they will be creating value during that time. And that's why I don't really like, you know, stagnant projects or assets or companies with limited backing, etc., because they won't do anything. And if gold takes off in 2 years, for example, they wouldn't have added anything. They probably would have diluted what the shareholders already own. They wouldn't have added any more value. But if you can add value on a good project, etc., I mean, that will just, you know, make a slingshot move when gold actually takes off. So, I mean, I'm looking for the margin of safety here, and I want limited downside with the probable upside.
Okay, so a couple concepts here. Yes, I fully agree with you in the fact that companies need to be cashed up. They need to have good management teams. But when you say that you want to see them getting more gold, there's a balance here, because exploration, okay, that can add ounces, but not necessarily ounces immediately when it comes to, say, 43-101s or resource estimates. But it can put in some investors' minds this forward projection of just how many ounces it could add. But when you do a little bit of infill drilling, or at least follow-up drilling on, let's say, a discovery hole, that does actually add ounces to the bottom line, and in my eyes can put almost a floor in the share price. How do you balance these two out? Because in all fairness, both of this type of drilling is needed to move a project forward.
Well, I mean, that's a good question. And I guess it's, I think of it as like exploration or outstepping with the drill rig. I mean, that's basically painting a bigger picture. And infill drilling, etc., is, you know, creating a higher quality picture and adding value through that. So, I mean, obviously the dream scenario is when the picture gets bigger and the value or the resolution, if you will, is expanding as well. And that's obviously a trade-off.
All right, Eric, we are out of time for this segment on the radio, but I am having you back on next segment. So everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back with Eric Wetterling.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attention gardeners, if you need to grow nutritionally dense vegetables or medicinal herbs this year, listen, because a bioactive superfood for plants is now available. This all-natural superfood for plants is so effective at producing maximum plant growth in minimum time that it almost forces plants to grow, even under the worst light and soil conditions. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's truly remarkable. Vegetables grow faster and contain more bioavailable vitamins and trace minerals. Plants that rarely bloom will flower constantly. Sickly plants become vibrantly alive. Medicinal herbs become super potent. Flowers become more vivid right before your very eyes. ProtoGrow also improves the taste quality of all your garden vegetables. That's because it's more than just an all-natural superfood for plants. It's a proprietary blend of bioactive sea nutrients that contain the basic building blocks of life itself, which is why ProtoGrow even renews your garden by increasing the microorganisms in the soil. Learn more at growlikecrazy.com. That's growlikecrazy.com. Get special pricing for network listeners right now at growlikecrazy.com.
You USA Radio News with Wendy King.
In cities across the country, demonstrations all linked to the video death of George Floyd, who is being detained by Minneapolis police officers. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz.
Our hope is that we can start to get that. This is where I need the public. I need those legitimate folks who are grieving to take this back for the right reason. Why are we talking about anarchists who are burning down damn buildings that were businesses that were built up by our indigenous and black communities? Instead of talking about, we had a horrific situation where a police officer murdered and was charged for the death of a black man. We've lost that in there. And I need the public. I need them to rise up. I need to know they're madder than hell. But we have got to stop this piece first to get the other.
This is USA Radio News. According to Johns Hopkins University, the number of coronavirus victims in the United States has now climbed to 103,000. It's the most in the world. Also, confirmed cases of the virus in the U.S. has reached 1,747,000, followed up by Brazil with 500,000. In Washington, a divided U.S. Supreme Court has rejected an emergency appeal by a California church that challenged state limits on attendance at worship services that have been imposed to stop the spread of the coronavirus. With more, here's USA's Tim Berg.
Several mayors across the country are talking about the impacts of the ongoing coronavirus outbreak. Jacksonville, Florida Mayor Lenny Curry says the pandemic has been especially hard on small businesses.
Small businesses have struggled to stay open. Many have lost jobs and income due to COVID-19. Small businesses have struggled to stay open, and some have had to close.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you, and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to chat with Eric Wetterling. Eric, I had to cut you off at the tail end of the last segment as we were discussing the balance between infill drilling, exploration drilling, and what you look for. Please continue on with your comments regarding what you think the market's looking for and how you view some of this drilling to move companies forward.
The market always wants to, you know, I mean, it's always asking what's next. That's in my opinion, at least. So you always want to have a carrot dangling, basically, because you can see some of the juniors when they go into the boring phase. I mean, they don't move that much, usually trend down because not a lot of stuff is happening. And first, I mean, your reasons are valid, but I mean, you constantly see that, okay, infill drilling doesn't really move the needle. Every investor wants to, you know, dream and get a bit greedy, especially if you're a latecomer. I mean, if you're buying a stock at the bottom because you're a value investor and understand the case, that's one thing. But if you're let's say you're trying to attract new people or whatever, they want to see the upside because they need to convince themselves that they're not buying in late, if you will. So, I don't know. It's just investing is really an art and not a science because, I mean, there are humans that are behind the marginal buys and sells. Well, there are robots as well, but I guess I would say it's a mix, because I know there are a few good projects which are doing some of the boring stuff, and they're really cheap because of it, because it's the boring stuff. So, I mean, I could easily see a multi-bagger just to, you know, get to fair value, and then when they're past that, they then can go back to exploration drilling. So that's another one of these, I guess, examples that, okay, if they're risking, but they have something to come back to and then add, that's one thing. But if they basically drilled out the limits of the deposit and then only doing infill drilling, that's not too attractive for me, because, I mean, sure, it's probably going to go higher, but the market will always, you know, ask, okay, what's next?
That is true. Market is always looking for what's next, and it is also just about almost dreaming for some of these juniors in terms of what they're drilling. Remember, all this stuff is needed to move projects forward. Companies can't just do exploration drilling all the time and think that they're going to get bought out. Very few cases of that have happened. There is still a balance between infill drilling and exploration drilling, and also completing these studies to further de-risk projects and show just how economic they are. Eric, let's follow up on some of your portfolio picks. We've talked about a number of these stocks before. Let's start with Novo Resources, because there still is a lot of interest in this story as it continues to advance and issue news releases on a very regular basis. One important thing to consider, though, is sentiment when it comes to Novo. Have you noticed sentiment changing a little bit, either through what you're hearing on your site or what you're reading on some of the blogs?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I mean, I've seen trolling go down substantially. I mean, I used to be trolled almost every time I put something up on Twitter about Novo Resources, and there were a bunch of trolls in the forums, etc., harping on about same stuff all over again. For whatever reason, I mean, during the last few weeks, I haven't seen much trolling. And I've spoken to a few guys in the industry that know a lot more than me. And I noted a subtle shift, if you will, that they're more like, wait and see, then, you know, oh, this is a pipe dream and all that. So I don't know what exactly triggered it. Personally, I think that the comments from the Beers veteran, which I put up on the site in at least two articles, I think, that was a big, you know, crutch, in my opinion, because I get paranoid sometimes, like, okay, I'm seeing this, and the trolls and the overall market is saying something completely different. So, like, am I crazy even though I'm using, you know, base my articles on everything that's known? But it's, you still get that, I don't know, because you're so way off from the consensus that you sometimes feel like, okay, can all of them be wrong and I be right, even though I think I got an information advantage over them? And then to see this De Beers guy come in, who has probably the most relevant experience in the world. I mean, I don't think anyone can really touch him when it comes to, you know, appreciating the value of especially Egina, because that's the very type of deposit he used to mine at similar scale in South Africa and Namibia. So I think that got people to wake up to see someone, you know, with that kind of experience saying that, you know, basically, I think he said something like, your assessment is correct. Basically, rubber stamped my whole Egina for Dummies Part 1, which contained a lot of, you know, let's say big numbers, even though I just used a pretty conservative case, in my opinion. So, and he painted a really big picture about, this thing being massive, and he's been waiting his whole life to be on at the ground floor in a new CDM deposit, if you will, even though this is gold. So I think that might be a reason for it. And then, as always, I mean, share price itself just leads to people getting more bullish. And if you're bearish, you're starting to doubt your doubt your bias if the share price is moving against you, because it's always, you know, the trolls are always out in force when a stock is performing badly, but they have a hard time saying the same stuff when it's performing well, even though sometimes or most of the time nothing has changed. But, I mean, in Novo's case, I mean, we've gotten a lot of news releases, and it's just, you know, just keeps looking better and better. So I guess it's a mix of, you know, positive news and then comments from someone like this, the Beers guy, etc., and perhaps my articles helped people to wrap their head around, okay, why is Edgina such a quote-unquote boring deposit that could also be such a sexy deposit in terms of cash flow?
Oh, well, it's interesting to follow along with this story. What about a couple other stocks that you are holding that maybe haven't been performing as well, especially if you consider the performance against something like the GDX? Novo has been outperforming the GDX ever since that washout low, but stocks that I've had on the show, let's say TriStar Gold. What are some of your updated thoughts here?
Yeah, TriStar is one of the companies, I think, that have lagged. And for no real good reason. I mean, I know Corona is getting pretty bad in Brazil, but, I mean, that was the case for almost every country, and some are still getting worse by the day. So, I mean, that's just, I think it's partly because, basically because of the Corona, and things are deteriorating in Brazil on that part. But I mean, that too shall pass. I mean, that won't be around forever. So I think TriStar is one of the better quality juniors out there, because I mean, if you look at the PA, sure, it's a PA, but you could cut off, let's say, 30% of the value estimation in that PA based on the current gold price. Is still, I don't know, like 90% undervalued, something like that. I think the PA shows after-tax net present value like over $600 million at today's gold prices. So, and they're trading at, I think, 56 million Canadian or something. So, I mean, that's just, I don't know, that looks to me like money on the table.
Hair, good chatting with you. We're going to wrap it up here. Appreciate your thoughts on what you're looking for in terms of stocks and what it takes to move them forward, and also a couple insights on some of the stocks that you hold. Eric, I appreciate your time on this weekend show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks, Corey. The same.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
This is a pandemic survival alert, and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meat packing plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
I'm here with Scott Jusseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are continuing our focus in the resource sector as I am chatting with a Giant Vendari. Now, Giant, it's been actually a couple months since I last had you on the show, and with your specialty in the resource sector and analyzing a wide range of resource companies the whole way down to the juniors, I just want to throw a general question over to you asking how you are currently playing this upward trending or arguably bull market in the precious metals over the last at least 6 months, please.
Thanks for having me, Corey. After the end of PDAC or during the time of PDAC, the share prices of a lot of these companies fell quite rapidly, and that was actually a great opportunity to buy some of those cheaper stocks, inexpensive stocks. I think the market has gone up quite a bit in the last 1 month or so. I think it is actually a good time to get rid of those stocks that I think are now overpriced or those stocks that have run ahead of themselves. I still continue to move my money from those overpriced stocks, companies that have gone up too much over the last 1 month, into companies that actually haven't performed all that much. And that is a very good way to rebalance my portfolio and position myself to make more money going forward.
Now, what do you consider stocks that have gone up too much? Is there a certain level? Is there a certain multiple that you are considering or have in mind?
So, for example, Corey, I was sitting with a lot of junk companies, and those junk companies have gone up a lot in the last 1 month. I'm very happy to have got rid of most of those companies in the last couple of weeks. But at the same time, the smaller companies, the junior small companies, haven't necessarily performed as well as they should have over the last few weeks. And those are the companies that actually give me very good upside.
So, Jayan, I've mentioned even on this show a number of times the junk companies, or as I call them, garbage companies. I have gotten a few emails saying, please outline these garbage companies. I don't necessarily like to simply bash some of these companies, but I do find that there are certain characteristics of these companies that stand out. They're more red flags or warning signs to me, and unfortunately, hey, I think we all hold some of these companies that are not of the higher quality. What are some of the characteristics of some of these junk companies or garbage companies that you think make them stand out in this sector?
These companies are always struggling for money. They don't really have control over their capital structure. They have far too many warrants that are priced not much higher than the current share price. They don't look after their projects very well, and they spend far too much money on salaries and upkeep of offices and on investor relations. You don't see much drilling and geological work happening with these companies. These companies don't really understand the local politics very well, the managements of these companies. And the managements don't necessarily are well-versed with the cultural aspects of jurisdictions that they are operating in. So a combination of these things make what I call junk companies, but sometimes they just have a very bad share structure and too many warrants which destroy the possibility of the share price moving up.
So, Jayan, before we get into maybe some specific names, do you find that you are playing some of the miners right now, or are you more focused on some of the exploration companies?
I am actually also playing a couple of miners just because they are very small companies and the market seems not to be too interested in those companies. Eventually, I'll make money. It will happen one day when I wake up, but some of the miners are very cheap. But I think all companies with market capitalization, let's say below $50 million, can be very cheap even today.
But then you still need to decipher which ones are the bad companies and which ones have a better share structure and have a better plan and have a better management team. But, hey, that just takes some due diligence. What about exploration companies? What are you looking for when you're analyzing exploration companies?
Well, one good thing is when a company has a lot of cash in it, because I don't want these companies to be constantly raising money, and particularly if they're trading at not much higher than the cash value of those companies. So I'm very happy buying those companies if I can get it, and I think there are those opportunities as well in the market.
So then, Jayan, please share a couple companies that you are investing in that you think maybe have not moved as much as they should have.
So one company that I have talked with you a couple of times in the past, and that's O3 Mining. The ticker is OIII, and they are currently doing a financing at $2.35. They fell as low as $1.20, I think, but at very little volume. I think there's a very good upside in this company. The company continues to move forward very aggressively, and I think they have a good plan of action for the future. So this is a company where I think the upside is probably among the best that I can see among the smaller companies, and that is the reason why it's the biggest part of my portfolio. There's another company called Tethyan Resources. The ticker is TETH, Train England, Train Holland, and it trades in Canada. It usually trades around 16 cents. It has gone up a bit today, but if it falls back to 16 cents or lower, I'm very happy buying more of it. It is being acquired by Adriatic Metals, and Adriatic Metals actually has a very good valuation in my view. So not only do I benefit from arbitrage, I also benefit from the further upside that I will have with owning Adriatic Metals. But I should buy Tethyan only if my brokerage account allows me to trade in ASX and London stocks as well, because Tethyan will stop trading in Canada eventually once the merger is over. So these are the two companies that I quite like. There's a third company, Corey, and that is Mirasol Resources. It is trading at 40 cents, and I think the cash value of the company is about 34 cents. for 32 cents per share. So it is pretty much trading at cash value. If it falls, I'm happy to buy it. The slight problem is that all the projects of Mirasol Resources, ticker is MRZ, is in Latin America, and Latin America is not the best place right now.
Yeah, unfortunately, Latin America has been hit quite hard and is still dealing with a lot of government shutdowns. Quick question on O3 mining, because I follow O3 mining on the site. I have had Jose Vizcarra on the show a number of times. O3 has a lot of different projects, and they do have a lot of cash in the bank. They are an Osisko company, so they do have some very strong support in Quebec. And the company has been drilling, but maybe one of the arguments has been the company really hasn't hit that almost wow hole that turns everybody's attention over to the company. There is still a lot of interest in this company, but what are you looking for in terms of news flow to continue to drive this stock higher?
So they are actually doing a fair bit of work at the projects. I am actually not even worried about anything new that they had. I think what they already have more than justifies at least 100% upside for me. Remember, they will soon have about, I think, $50 to $60 million in cash. They have a project with them that Agnico Eagle would ideally want to buy off them. And Agnico was at one point of time, actually last year, was prepared to pay something like $40 million for that project. So if you look at these two things, plus Garrison project, at the Marban project, which is very close to the operating projects of earlier Osisko, which is a Malartic project. That project has a good number of ounces. I think the valuation looks pretty decent to me. And that project itself can become a mine or can get absorbed in one of the next door mining companies, mining projects. So between these three things, I clearly see at least 100% upside from the current share price.
Okay, well, I will be having Jose on the show to explain a little bit more about how this all fits into the overall company strategy. So, everybody, make sure you come visit our website, kereport.com, for that interview, as well as recap all the daily editorials and all the other company updates and even company introductions that I release throughout the week on a very regular basis. Giant, great having you on the show. Great to reconnect. Everybody, thanks for tuning in to the weekend edition. As I mentioned, keep the emails coming. Fleck@kereport.com. I love hearing from each and every one of you, and I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend. Same goes for you, Giant.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Jose works on a farm. Safety is important. His boss calls 811 to determine where it's okay to dig. This protects Jose from hitting an underground line and from serious injury. Because Jose can't tell exactly where or how deep the lines are, he doesn't dig until 811 tells him it's safe. The most important thing is that Jose works safe and goes home to his family. For more information, visit farmsafe811.org. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.